So today we officially begin Lent. Sort of Ash Wednesday was sort of the run-up to the official beginning of Lent, which is always the first Sunday of Lent. Lent is it seems to me, an odd history in the church, at least in my experience. It's supposed to be a time of penitence. And the root word there is the Latin word pena, P-O-E-N-A, which actually means suffering, pain. And we have to be careful here because everybody has suffering. Donald Trump has suffering. Bill Gates has suffering. You know? All the people who are going to be at the Oscars tonight have suffering. But what is a peculiar form of Christian suffering? Because there is a peculiar form of Christian suffering. And here is where, again, I think we've made massive missteps in the church because we've exalted what could be called a mysticism of suffering. You know? It is the worse it feels, the better you must be for it. Classic line that my sister's junior mistress gave to her, "Sister Michael, my job is to crucify you." She did it by shaming her, humiliating her at every possible opportunity. And then within my first days at the seminary, I was told I wore the wrong glasses, that they didn't have sparkles or rhinestones. They're the glasses I had been wearing at the University of Illinois for several years. And I walked wrong, and I had a red scarf for the wintertime, and I shouldn't wear the red scarf. In other words, there was this enormous circumscription of my life, which was supposed to be, you know, a vehicle for virtue. And it wasn't. It was pure rubbish. But again, that's why I say this mysticism of pain that we've exalted. You know? Without ever very closely looking at the nature of pain, and above all, what pain is to lead us to. You know, Christian pain, specifically. You may recall when you were little, or certainly when I was little, that Lent was always a time to give up. You give up candy. You give up the radio. You give up movies. Or when you get older, you give up sex. You give up alcohol. You give up all this wonderful stuff that you're supposed to have. And in some sort of magical way, this is supposed to produce virtue. It didn't, of course. It produced resentment, if anything, more and more. But again, there was another weird notion, which I still hear regularly when people suffer. Oh, I'm adding it to the suffering of Jesus. Because he was miserable, I should be miserable too. I mean, think about that. That, you know, that doesn't compute, as we say. That doesn't make any sense. So what is involved here? Well, we have, at the beginning of every Sunday of Lent, in the three-year cycle, the temptation narrative. We have the short one today, Mark's temptation narrative. What was Jesus tempted to? Well, Matthew and Luke offer these amplification of that by saying Jesus was tempted to somehow falsify his life, do magic for us, change stones into bread, jump down off of tall buildings, and land safely on the earth. To what end? To what end is a question that has to be urged. It is certainly true, as the present Pope constantly reminds us, that we are not supposed to be the church of no, although we don't do a very good job of indicating that either. I mean, I've heard more no's from the present Pope than I've heard from anybody in a long, long time. But what is the no to be said to? There is a place for saying no. It is no to everything in me that resists my opening up to God and to the world. And that double opening is really the same. I can't open to God without opening to the world, to other human beings. And where does pain fit into that scenario? Well, the simple fact for most of us is we're not open to the world, and we're certainly not open to each other. Rather, we are, let's put it as succinctly as possible, radically closed in on ourselves, protecting ourselves from whatever we think is going to damage us. And the breakthrough, and that word is particularly chosen, breakthrough. You don't break things without pain. You know, as they say, they don't make an omelet without breaking eggs. To break through that self-protective shield that we erect against the world and against each other, and at the same time against God. And this is what is very hard to get hold of. You can't close yourself off to the world without closing yourself off to God. Full stop. Period. And here too, the church often enough has not done a very good job, because we talk about saving our souls endlessly. Saving our souls, cultivating our spiritual gardens in this highly privatized, individualistic fashion. Well, that's a falsification too, because it basically just means self-protection. Saving my soul at the expense of everybody else and everything else. So during the Sundays of Lent, I hope to propose, first of all, for myself, those locales of pain. In other words, to be guided by an extraordinarily important question that we human beings need to ask ourselves with great regularity. What causes me pain? What makes me sorrowful? So it is a time certainly of self-reflection. And even those three great modes of piety that the Jews gave to us, Reformed Jews, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, they're not supposed to be private enterprises. I fast in order to remind myself that two-thirds of the people on this planet fast unwillingly. To remember that. And that too is part of this breaking open. I give money away. Why? To prove my virtue? No. Because we, in our comfortable North American fashion, are content to be steadfastly unaware of most of the world which lives on $1 or $2 a day. And to somehow connect ourselves with those people. And maybe prayer is the most difficult, because prayer takes time. And we're all so busy. You know, we're all so busy. To take time, to at the beginning of Lent, to say, all right, every day I'm going to take 10, 15 minutes to just try to shut down all this noise in my life and find out who I really am, where I really am. So that we can open up our lives, our consciousness, to what all this pain is supposed to give birth to, because it is supposed to be birth pains, not just suffering for its own sake. It's for the creation of new life. And this is what we have failed in the church to do. You know, my seminary rector, my sister junior mistress, all they did was say, no, suffer, 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 suffer. There's something on the other end of suffering. That suffering is supposed to have a point. And the point, again, is the breakdown of my self-protectiveness, of my self-enclosure, in order to give birth to what? The kind of life that Jesus led. It's very simple. That's what it's supposed to give birth to. And that's the only thing that validates pain in any kind of Christian, authentically Christian sense. Be conformed to Christ, as Paul will tell us. Beware that we are members of each other, again, as Paul will tell us. To get there is a hard and arduous thing. Dorothy Day loved that quotation from Dostoevsky. Love is a harsh and dreadful thing. Now that can be the leitmotif for our suffering in this penitential season.